אנחנו קוראים מספר תלמוד 10 הספירות
כרך. Hello, we're reading from the study of the 10 ספירות. Part 4. Writings of the Ari, item 4. You can find the material at kabbalahmedia.info or kabbalah.tv, and selected questions will be asked during the lesson. Again, study of the 10 ספירות, part 4, item 4. The havayot of the kelim were born from the mutual haka'ah, striking of ol makif and ol pnimi outside the peh. In the bonding of the inner lights with the orot makifim, they are connected inside the peh. Consequently, when they merge together outside the peh, bound together, they strike and beat on each other, and the havayot of their kelim are born from the beating.
מהקעת אור מקיף ואור פנימי זה בזה.
The havayot of the kelim were born from the mutual haka'ah of ol makif and ol pnimi outside the peh. In the bonding of the inner orot with the orot makifim, they are connected inside the peh. Consequently, when they emerge together outside the peh, bound together, they strike and beat on each other, and the havayot of their kelim are born from the beating. Item 5, opnimi, clarifying when they merge together outside the peh. Sorry, when they are connected inside the peh. You already know that the peh is the malchut of Rosh of Ak, where the masach of Prina Dalet had been erected. It detains the upper light from expanding and clothing the fourth Prina, as the upper light has the conduct of expanding in Prina Dalet also, and fulfill the entire reality as before the Tzimtzum. However, the Masach erected in the Peh detains it and does not receive it. This is called Zivug Haka'ah, the striking through coupling. The entire measure of the upper light, the Or Elyon, that is suitable for clothing Prina Dalet, which, as we said, she does not receive, this upper light returns backwards to its origin and becomes a Malbush over the first 9 Sfirot of Or Yashal. It turns out that all the lights, the orot, that are destined to come in the olamot, the worlds, after their correction, called orot mikifim, they are contained in that orhozel that clothes the first 9 sfirot of Or Yashal, of Rosh of Ak. It is so because this is the upper light that is not accepted in Prina Dalet. Hence, it is not fulfilled the entire reality as it was prior to the Tzimtzum. However, Prinat Dalet becomes corrected through all the Zivugim and Or Chozel that are destined to appear in the Olamot by raising Man through the acts of the righteous. Eventually, she becomes fit to receive the light as it was in Ein Sof before the Tzimtzum. It is written in the Zohar, Ein Sof is not inspired with his ichud, his unification, before his spouse is given to him, which is the correction of Prina Dalet. Now, we have clarified that all the Orot Mekifim are contained in the Masach and Or Chozel in Peh of Rosh of Arichanpin. Sorry, in the Peh of Rosh of Ak, along with the inner Orot, which are the 9 Sfirot of Or Yashal that are connected with it. They are rewrites, the bonding of the inner lights with the surrounding lights, they are connected inside the Peh, meaning Malchut, by the power of the Masach of Prina Dalet that is corrected there.
Okay, questions? None? Well, doctor, nothing's understood. It used to be more clear before. Why? Just so you understand, it's not because you became dumber, but because you became wiser. Now, what is being revealed, you don't yet know this, but what's being revealed to you is more details than before. Before that, you had kind of like light, rejects, receives, everything was clear. Yes? It's like, what is there to do here? Altogether, it's like the simplest thing. Now, you don't yet know, you don't recognize, but many additional details are being revealed. They're under the same concepts, and you are now in many more details than there were before. And that's why you're confused and you don't know how to connect between these things, as if you're getting lost. Oh, Yashar, oh, Chozer, internal light, surrounding light, Masach, Pevrosh, as if many things. Beforehand, it was like one or two and it was simple. Now there are many. This is because additional details are being revealed now, and that's why you cannot connect them yet together. But this is already an advanced stage. In advancing stages, we're always confused, and we don't know. It's truly like that. This is how it is. In truth, it's also like that in our world. If you talk to some expert on some disease, like you say, like you're, as you are as a doctor, so in your profession, then as much as he knows more, he can be even more confused because he has these details and those details and like this and like that, and he doesn't know. Whereas a doctor who's a beginner, so for him it's simple. What? It's like this. One, two. That's it. And to the graveyard. That's how it is. In short, the fact that today you don't understand, this is a sign of advancement. It's a sign of advancement. Sometimes I, by being with you in the lesson, and you are asking, and you are seemingly talking, and I barely hear what you're saying. Yes, that's how it is. There's an emergence of additional details that have not yet worked their order in there. They didn't connect to the next stage of the understanding. And it's very difficult. That's how we advance. That's why everything needs to be with patience, and everything will come to its place in peace, to its perfection. Okay? There's nothing to ask. Let's go.
Clarifying, outside of the pay, they're connected together. Both the O Pnimi and O Makif are connected in Prina Dalet. The upper nine sefirot of O Yashal are connected and clothed in O Chozel, called O Pnimi. But the Ohot, the lights that are destined to come until the end of correction, called Ohot Mikifim, are also contained in that O Chozel. It is so because they are the essence of the O Chozel. The O Chozel, thus destined to manifest bit by bit over 6,000 years, and after that until the end of correction.
If there's no questions, let's just keep going.
Clarifying, striking and beating each other. Because when the two orot, the two lights, come down and expand from the peh down into the guf of Ak, the orot mikifin cannot clothe inside the guf because of the force of the masach that detains that light. Because they're connected and incorporated there, they too want to expand in the pnimiyut of the paltsuf. Thus, they purify the coarseness in the masach, meaning that force of detainment that does not let them clothe there. However, by the force of the bitush in the aviyut of the masach, for which the masach purifies, it causes the istaklut of the inner light from the guf. It is so because as it purifies due to the coarseness of Prina Gimel, the old Chosel is shortened, clothes only the level of Chochmah, and the light of Ketel disappears from the goof. When Prina Gimel is also purified into the coarseness of Prina Bet, the old Chosel is shortened to the level of Bina, and the old Chochmah also disappears until all the coarseness is purified and there is no more Zivug Daka there. Then the entire old Pnimi disappears from the Paltzuf. When the Yuri writes, they strike and beat on each other, it means that one rejects the other because the size of the old Pnimi is measured by the Aviyut in the Masach. Hence, in a greater Aviyut, it grows stronger, and vice versa. And the detainment of the old Mekifin cannot clothe is only because of the Aviyut and the Gvul in the Masach. For that reason, it purifies the Aviyut, and for that reason, they beat on each other until they both depart.
עד ששניהם מסתלקים כמבואר.
שאלות. בעצם פעולה פשוטה, כן? סיווג דקה בראש.
Questions? The action is simple. The zivug of aka in the rosh, surrounding light, is given out on the outside. The opnimi inside. The opnimi spreads from a place downwards until it comes to its end, where there is no clothing inside the goof. And then there is the clash, the bitush. Yes?
Well, that's like this. But childish, but why do they strike? It's a violent action.
Yes, they're striking, certainly. It's like physics. What do you mean? It's not violence or anything. They're two contradicted forces. It's like in nature. You're asking what happens in nature. There's no person here. These are how two forces operate upon each other, plus and minus, and how they are in the relations between them.
If I want to enter somewhere, I ask.
What ask? Maybe you'll say that he loves or hates. There's no such thing. These are forces of nature. Do you understand what forces of nature are?
Probably not.
I don't understand. There are laws. There are laws. Go into the water and try to breathe. You'll choke. Jump, God forbid, from the roof. You'll break. And it won't help you if you pray or not, or you're nice or not. It doesn't work that way. There are laws of nature. Later, a person comes, and in a person also those same laws exist. It's all upon laws. Also, in still vegetative animal and speaking, there are laws. Other than that, there's another special law in the degree of man, which has to do with his relation to the upper force, to the Creator, where this force in us is felt in the form, it's felt in our feeling, not in our intellect, but in our feeling it operates. But it's only out of our connection of people with the Creator. But other than that, all our laws of nature that you can attribute to it, feelings, but it won't help you.
I'll try again. Let's say there's a resistance from all Mekifin, all Pnimi.
Contradicted, yes.
Say that I have an opposing interest with Garlic.
Wait, don't say that it's in Garlic, because here you're including a human component.
Let's say two dogs then. Why beatings? Those are not good.
Because nature includes two contradictive forces, plus and minus.
And only in violence? What is this striking?
Striking meaning it's trying to enter into the boundaries of the other. Yes? The boundary of the other is called a striking.
So it doesn't strike, it really strikes.
It cries and rejects. Otherwise you don't understand. I don't know how to say it. It's with force. Have you learned physics?
Did you study physics?
So that's yes. It. So there's a force. If I throw this now at the floor, will it fall? It'll fall. Can it break? It can break. What are you attributing to it? What feeling are you attributing to it? It simply enters and strikes the other.
One striking, I say?
Several strokes. What does it matter to you? Just understand that there's laws that have to do with the still, the vegetative, and the animal, where these are absolute laws, and there's one law, one additional law, on the degree of speaking, which has to do with the relation of a person to the Creator, where there is a matter of addition that comes to a person to do towards the Creator. And this addition is out of the darkness, out of frustrations, out of misunderstanding, lacking of feeling. And that's where a person operates. Where is it? We have a special area, the middle third of Tiferet, where we are as if not to here or to there. Okay? It will come. Let's go.
Item 5. There are no kelim prior to akudim, meaning in Esel Svirot of Rosh of Ak. Prior to the existence of akudim, the upper light could not clothe any kli. That is because the kelim could not tolerate it, and the light did not clothe the kli until the expansion of that great light came to Prinat akudim. Then a reality of a single kli for that great light has been made, and there began a certain limitation of the light in Atzilut, which could not have been done thus far. Again, there are no kelim prior to akudim, meaning in the 10 Sfirot of Rosh of Ak. Prior to the existence of akudim, the upper light could not clothe any kli. That is because the kelim could not tolerate it, and the light did not clothe the kli until the expansion of that great light came to Prinat akudim. Then a reality of a single kli for that great light has been made, and there began a certain limitation of the light in Atzilut, which could not have been made, which could not have been done thus far. Item 8, Opnimi, clarifying, prior to the existence of akudim. Akudim are regarded as 10 Sfirot of the Toch of the first Paltzuf in the reality after the first Tzimtzum, called Adam Kadmon. Prior to that, there weren't any Rosh Toch Sof in the upper light, but the upper light filled the entire reality. The Ari writes, prior to the existence of Akudim, meaning in the 10 Sfirot in Rosh of Adam Kadmon, that precede the 10 Sfirot of Toch of Adam Kadmon, called Akudim. The Elyon, the upper light, could not clothe any kli. It is thoroughly explained in part 3 that there is no Prinat kli in the 10 Sfirot of Rosh, only Shoshim for that kelim.
Yes,
no questions. meaning we have Akudim, which is the Rosh, Avak. And after that, already Akudim, Nikudim is the Nikudot of Sag, which from them the world of Nikudim comes from. And separated, that's already the world of Atzilut. Those three forms of the world, of the connection of the light within the Kli. 9.
Item 9, clarifying that the Kli did not receive it, because the Ochozil that ascends from Malchut upward is not regarded as a Kli for reception of the Or Elyon, the upper light, but only as a Shorish, a root for a vessel of reception. Thus, as much as Malchut of Rosh expands and broadens to the 10 Sfirot from her and within her, by the Ochozil that overturns and descends from above downward, there are still no Kelim there at all. It is so because the Ochozel rises there from below upward, and any clothing from below upward indicates departure from reception. The reason we call it Halbasha, clothing, is that the 10 Sfirot connect there and become a Shorish for the Halbasha, the clothing. This is why the Ari writes, the Kelim could not tolerate it.
And then when it connects from it down, it already receives all the rest.
Item 10, clarifying until the great light came. Until Malchut and Ochozel with her extend 10 Sfirot of Rosh to the Toch from above downward, then a single Kli was made, meaning Kli Malchut. It expanded, broadened, and received the entire amount of light inside it, whose Ochozel clothed the 10 Sfirot of the Rosh. These 10 Sfirot that descend from the Rosh downward and clothe Kli Malchut that had expanded are the ones called 10 Sfirot of Akudim, or they are called Olam HaAkudim, the world of Akudim.
Can
I ask a question? I didn't understand.
What did you read that you're asking about?
What's the 10 Sfirot of Akudim? Or the world of Akudim?
I'm reading below. As long as Malchut and the Ochozer, which extends and completes the 10 Sfirot of the Rosh to the Toch from above down, and this becomes one Kli, meaning the Kli of Malchut. Under the Peh, it's already Malchut. The first 9. The first 9 are called the Rosh. From Peh to Siyum is called its Malchut. Therefore, the Kli of Malchut, which expands and broadens, receives into her all the light, as her Ochozer felt the 10 Sfirot of the Rosh, and these 10 Sfirot, which come down from the Rosh down and clothe the Kli of Malchut, which expanded, are the ones called the 10 Sfirot of Akudim, or the world of Akudim.
It's just one peltuf, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, this peltuf just adds to it. It's altogether a keter.
Only the keter is called the world of Nikudim?
Sorry, you can call also... You can read it in the questions and answers, so the interpretation of the words, where he writes about the world of Akudim. Akud means that it's taken of one Kli, and Malchut. It's not much of the Malchuts, not restrictions, but rather one Malchut. Hence, this Malchut, which is standing in Pe'ev Rosh, is in Zivug of Haka'ah and expands from the pit downwards and receives from what's in the Rosh that enters into the Toch, that is called Akudim. So Akud in one Kli, it's circumvented in one Kli.
So Akudim are all five Partifim of Adam Kadmon?
Certainly, as they're all above Tabu.
So all of that is Akudim?
Yes, because there's one principle there, that what's in the Rosh expands to the Guf. And in the Kli of Malchut, one Kli. Let's go.
Item 20, because of the mutation, started to be night. Because Malchut in the Sof of that Kli, which is regarded as Malchut of Kli, Malchut limits the Or Elyon on its path from expanding from her downward, the force of that limitation is called Tabu, or it's called Chazeh.
If it's in Katnut, Chazeh, if it's in Gadlut, Tabu.
Item 30, clarifying what wasn't there can be up to this point. Meaning Malchut of Rosh also limits the upper light, hence a Zivug Daka as striking through coupling a cord there, and raising of Ochozel. However, this limitation and this Ochozel of Malchut of Rosh are not regarded as an actual limitation, only as a potential limitation. Ketil is like a primeval substance containing a shorish, a root of all four elements, but in potential, not in actual fact. It is therefore possible to call it in Sof an Matzil, an emanator, referring to the ten Sfirot of Rosh, called Ketil. These words of theory are indeed profound, and we must understand them, for they pertain to the very root of the wisdom and its beginning. We must determine the difference between potential and actual that the Yari speaks of. He divides between the ten Sfirot of Rosh that clothed Ochozel from below upward, and the ten Sfirot of Guf that clothed the Ochozel from above downward. It is for that reason that the ten Sfirot of Rosh are sometimes called Ein Sof and Matzil, an emanator, to the ten Sfirot of Guf. There is a great difference and distance between the Ochozel that ascends from the Masach and Malchut upward, clothing the ten Sfirot of Rosh, and the descending Ochozel with the Or Yeshal from ten Sfirot of Rosh down to the Guf. It appears that they are opposite from one another, because the Ochozel that ascends from below upward is not only regarded as a vessel of reception for the clothing Or Yeshal, but it even contains resistance to reception. It is so because any from below upward means that the light turns to the emanator and not to the receivers. However, the ascending Ochozel still becomes a malbush, a clothing for the upper light. In other words, it becomes a root for the tying of the upper light to the emanated. That is because Kli Malchut of Rosh, which raised that Ochozel, expands and extends by it from her and within her, and becomes a vessel of reception called the Guf of the Paltzuf. It is so because ten Sfirot of Rosh descend from above downward and expand and extend within her. Ten Sfirot of Rosh depart from coming into the vessel of reception by their own property, as that is the meaning of all Chozel that ascends from below upward to the emanator and not to the emanated. Still, the entire light that is received in the Guf, in actual fact, is not from the ten Sfirot of Rosh that expand in it from above downward, as explained in item 30. For that reason, the ten Sfirot of the Rosh are considered to have 10 potential Sfirot, but not actual. It means that the actual clothing of the light in the Kelim is not at all in the Rosh, but only the potential and the Rosh, but only the potential and the Shorish, the root that is to be extended from it. That is why the Rosh is called in Sof, or it is called Ketel. There we wrote then, meaning after the light expanded in the Guf Tepatzuf, called Akudim, a reality of a single kli, for that great light has been made, and there began a certain limitation of the light in it, which could not have been done thus far. It means that before the Akudim, meaning Malchut Fosh, there could not be any reality of limitation. That is because the limitation that Malchut limits and the Ochozel that she raises in ten Sfirot of Osh, this limitation is genuine bestowal. After all, the greater the limitation, the greater amount of bestowal it is. The limitation of Prinat Dalet extends the level of Ketel, and a smaller limitation, meaning only on Prina Gimel, extends only the level of Chochmah. Thus, there is no discernment of limitation whatsoever in the Rosh.
Shilot?
Questions?
There's many details here.
Many details. That's what I said before.
Yep.
That simply now you're feeling. Prior to that, it was easy. And now it's like many, many, many details. How will I grasp all of this? That's rising to the next degree. Next. So ask.
The matter is that there's a difference between a great distance.
Let's do this simply, otherwise we won't come out of this. You have Rosh Toch Sof. Is this clear? Clear. In the Rosh, there is rejection. Rejection. It doesn't want to receive, it just wants to feel what the emanator is giving him. And he's making a calculation of how much he can receive in order to bestow. Like the guest and the host. Then, from it downwards, it begins to receive. Wherever the force of reception to bestow to the emanator, it stops. He has still a force to receive, but it doesn't have the force to bestow to the host, and therefore, there's a rejection here. That's the Sof of the Pertzuf. So we have Rosh, Toch, and Sof. What we have in force of the Rosh is spread by force in the Toch. And in the end, he doesn't receive it. That's it. What are you asking? What million details?
Because there's a difference between the returning light and what's clothed in the 10 Sfirot of Rosh.
What are 10 Sfirot of Rosh? This is Rosh, yes? What is it? That there's Malchut in the Peh of Rosh, and that the upper light comes to Malchut. Malchut rejects the upper light. You see, rejection. And then Or Chozer, in which the Or Yashar is clothed, is called the 10 Sfirot of Rosh. That's it. There's no reception, but rejection. But rejection with a calculation. So how much can I receive in order to bestow? But there's still calculations. When he finishes this calculation, he opens himself and receives in order to bestow, under the condition that he's capable of doing so, meaning that he's under great pressure and in trembling and fear of how he can receive in order to bestow, because he really wants to enjoy. We are talking about a desire to enjoy and the pleasure that stands before the desire. And he gets this force of resistance from above, and he's really afraid whether he will be able to hold himself in order to be able to receive this with the intention to receive, to bestow to the host or not. There's an inner strain that's very big. And nevertheless, he overcomes and receives from it onwards, how much? A very thin line relative to the round light of Insof. That's how he receives in order to bestow. And wherever he cannot receive anymore in order to bestow, that stops. That place is called the empty space, the end of the Piltzuf, the Sof of the Piltzuf. Yes? There's no more than this. That's all. I'm telling you, all together, this is from that pressure that you have in your head. You're hearing many new words. You didn't hear them before. So that's why you're kind of...
That's
Goniv.
Item 6, the writing of the Ri. The Kli of Akudim is Ketel. The 10 Kelim Kachabtum emerged below Akudim, and in Akudim a single Kli was made for the 10 Sfirot. Item 6. However, first the entire light was of the parts that reach Atzilut, all concealed in a single Kli. That Kli had Prinat Kli of the upper Ketel, and then the light expanded further down from that Prina, called Akudim. Then, 10 Sfirot Kelim were made. Again, the Kli of Akudim is Ketel. 10 Kelim Kachabtum emerged below Akudim, and in Akudim, a single Kli was made for the 10 Sfirot. However, first the entire light was of the parts that reach Atzilut, all concealed in a single Kli. That Kli had Prinat Kli of the upper Ketel, and then the light expanded further down from that Prina, called Akudim. Then the 10 Sfirot Kelim were made.
Yes.
What is that the light was entirely of the parts that reach Atzilut? What's Atzilut?
No, to the Atzilut, to the emanation of the Kli. It's not Atzilut. Next.
Item 7. There is force of 10 Sfirot in the upper light. Let us begin to clarify the existence of Akudim. What it is about? Know that the upper light, the Or Elyon, is the part that is fitting to clothe Atzilut. It has the force of the 10 Sfirot, although they are as yet not apparent as 10 Orot, but only after the completion of Akudim. However, certainly the force of these 10 Orot, these 10 lights, was there to begin with. But since it was not bound in a Kli, it was not yet apparent that they are 10. There is force of 10 Sfirot in the upper light, the Or Elyon. Let us begin to clarify the existence of Akudim, what it is about. Know that the upper light, the Or Elyon, is the part that is fitting to clothe Atzilut. It has the force of the 10 Sfirot, although there is yet not apparent as 10 lights. But only after the completion of Akudim. However, certainly, the force of these 10 lights was there to begin with. But since it was not bound in a kli, it was not yet apparent that they are ten.
Meaning the ten sefirot that we will lights that we will see later that they come out and emerge in the light of Atzilut. Here, it's not yet revealed, although the roots to it are already there. Well, let's see what he says to us below.
Item 40, Opnimi, meaning only after the two Patsufim Ab and Sag of Ak manifest, in that state the light entered and departed the Kli 10 times. And these entrances and exits created and distinguished the 10 separate lights. Item 50, clarifying. The force of these 10 lights was there to begin with, before they expanded to Akudim, meaning in the 10 Sfirot of Rosh.
Let's see, Avgal Galta.
Where the 10 Sfirot are only in potential, but not in actual. Item 60, clarifying, since it was not bound in a Kli. This limitation begins to manifest only by the Zivug Deka'ah, the striking through coupling, and a sense of Ohozel from below upward in the second Histalkut, the departure that comes after the Hitlapshut, the clothing of the light in the Netzal, meaning after Akudim. However, the light is not confined by the first departure in Malchut of Osh, and remember that.
Read this verse again.
Item 60, opening me, since it was not bound in a Kli. This limitation begins to manifest only by the Zivug of Haka'ah, the striking through coupling, and the ascent of Ochozel from below upward in the second departure that comes after the clothing of the light in the emanated, meaning after Akudim. However, the light is not confined by the first Histalkut, the first departure in Malchut Ofosh, and remember that.
Meaning that which Galgalta received, we don't yet have a Kli, because we don't yet have a connection between the lights and Kelim. Whereas after the purification, you already have 10 Kelim, and then you already have a connection between the Kli and the light. Because with Ochozel, you have the Nekudot, Tamim Nekudot. And there we already have a connection between the building of the Kli. Nekudot are the Otiot and the Kelim. That's why it's the second time that the light comes and clothes, let's say, in Ab. So we say that Ab is not the Keter. It already has Kelim and lights and a connection between lights and Kelim. Next.
Item 70. Even in the Hitpashut, the expansion from the Rosh downward, it was still not apparent that there are 10 lights, because the 10 lights are regarded as a single light. It is so because all the differentiations in the lights are in the Kelim that they clothe. Since here, there is only one Kli. The 10 lights are also regarded as a single light.
We don't yet have those clashes. We don't have the differences between lights and Kelim that want to enter and emerge. And that's why it's still one Kli and not 10 Kelim. That's the whole point. Also, what's happening to us now, as we are understanding, not understanding, we feel, we don't feel, we're confused, we see that we can, once again, no, and once again, yes. It's all the entrance and the exit of the lights inside the Kelim. It's specifically how these changes are a sign of advancement, and a person in these processes is in great confusion. Let's go.
Item 8. It drew all Akadim, the light of Akudim, from Pe to Tabu, and left and returned to its origin in the Pe. What did the upper Matzil, the upper emanator, do when he wished to generate the Prina of that Kli called Akudim? He extended his light downward until a sufficient measure for the creation of Prinat Akudim had existed, being from Pe to Tabul. After he extended it, the light departed and returned upward to its origin in the Pe. Again, item 8. He drew the light of Akudim from Pe to Tabul and left and returned to its origin in the Pe. What did the upper emanator do when he wished to generate the prina of that kli called Akudim? He extended his light downward until a sufficient measure for the creation of prinat Akudim had existed, being from Pe to Tabul. After he extended it, the light departed and returned upward to its origin in the Pe.
Let's go.
Item 8, clarifying Akudim. Malchut of Rosh is called Pe, and Malchut of Guf is called Tabu. The upper nine Sfirot of Guf begin to expand from the Pe, meaning from Malchut of Rosh, and end at the Tabu, being Malchut of Guf. The entire place from Tabu down, downward to the seum of the Guf is regarded only as the Sfirat Malchut. Even though they are 10 Sfirot from Tabul down, they are regarded as O Chozel, O Nekeva, and as receivers that cannot. Thus, Hitpachut, the expansion of the O Chozel from the Pe downward, is considered to extend only through Tabul and stop there, because of the Masach in Tabul. Item 90. After he extended it, meaning as he's the Klut Bet, as the Rav Deori wrote, that it comes after the light is drawn to the Kli and not before. Item 100. Its origin in the Pe. It is Malchut of Rosh, called Pe. It is regarded as the origin of the entire light that expands in the Guf of the degree, because she extended it through the first Histalkut, the departure that is made in her.
Meaning the important thing is not that the light is drawn to the Kli, but how the Kli extends the Kli, extends the light. That's it, yes? Well, we still have some time. Please.
Item 9. A Rishimo that was left after the Histalkut, the departure of the light, became a Prinat Kli. It is known that when the upper light expands and disappears once more, it necessarily leaves a Roshem Chotam, the impression of a stamp below. That light is the Rishimo that remains below. When the upper light, the Or Elyon, departs and becomes concealed in its origin, the light of the Rishimo remains below, without that upper light. Then a Prinat Kli is formed by the distancing of the remaining light. The expanded Itpashut of the light and its Histalkut, the departure, is the reason for the later eventuating of the existence of a Kli. Item 200, clarifying the reason for the later eventuating of the existence of a kli. Item 200, opening me. The kli is primarily done by the rishimot that is left after the departure of the light, as explained here in the Ari's words. Hence, both are equal in the making of the kli. Therefore, there are two zivugim, two couplings needed here, called histaklut aleph and histaklut bet. Histaklut aleph is for the patshut, the expansion of the light, while histaklut bet is for the histalkut of the light. It is by these two prinot of zivugim, these couplings, that the vessels of reception of the degree are completed. As it is written, as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good, so the Lord will rejoice, etc. Meaning, rejoicing of the zivug. There is the upper zivug to destroy, meaning the histalkut all, as there is zivug elyon to do good, meaning the expansion of light. For that reason, they are both called rejoicing.
Two kinds of zivugim, one in the Rosh, one in the Guf, both receiving from it onwards or to the contrary to be purified. Next, 10.
Item 10. Since the light left all at once, there is only one kli made, called Ketel. Since when the first light returned and departed at one time, at a single moment, hence any existence of remaining light became existence of a single kli. It is called Prinat Kli, that is called Ketel, since the upper light, the Or Elyon, had not yet been distinguished in ten sfirot, for their being ten sfirot had not yet become apparent. The reason it is called Ketel and not some other sfira is that Ketel is always closer to the emanator. Item 300, opening me, clarifying, at one time, at a single moment. Though there are zivugim de haka'ah, the striking through coupling, there are long de istalkut of the light. And because of that, four levels of ten sfirot emerge one above the other, it is still regarded as a single histalkut at a single moment. It is so because the upper light mates with the masach as it purifies and conceals, and is therefore not regarded as hitpatshut, the expansion.
But in departure, that was 300, where are we?
There are 10 sfirot found in this kli, according to their distance from Prinat Dalet, meaning according to the Dalet Prinot in the upper light. However, although we have explained above that there are kli Malchut and Yesod, etc., in this kli, it will still not be called 10 kilim, since they are still not recognized as ten sfirot. Also, the light departed together. The thing is that it is like a single long kli, whose parts are not equal, as the distance of these parts from end to end.
Specifically through the distancing, the diminution, the kli is built. And tet is called according to their departure of those parts, some by some, few by few.
O Pnimi, item 400, you will understand that from what is written in part 1, there are four prinot in the upper light itself, huptum, even before it expands for zivug of a haka'ah, the striking through coupling. Hence, the single kli was also made of the same four prinot, huptum, in the light. Thus, these 10 sefirot are also found in that single kli, according to the distance of these four prinot from end to end. However, since there is but a single kli here, being malchut, the light is therefore regarded as a single light as well, without the discernment of 10 sefirot. It is so, because we have no perception in the light, if not through the evaluation of its clothing in the klim. And since the kli is one, we also have a single light.
Because the light is called after the kelim, because there's no names for the lights themselves. It's always expanded and receives and measured according to the kli. Gam yah.